Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, April the 12th, 2024. 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Jessica Hauser, talking about a lot of different things. And boy, if you could have heard that conversation during the break, a lot of pet peeves in life from people that can go on for about 17 minutes. The explanation of these pet peeves. I just sat and listened.
Thanks for letting me get it out.
Yeah, lot of tension there, but I'm glad that you feel better now that you've gotten it off your chest this morning.
I can't say I feel better. But
you feel better, but you got it off. You got to talk about it a little bit. And Matt, the horizons are just what they are. No expanding of horizons.
See, I'm like my horizons expand in the umbrella terms that I had listed off there. Like, I will forever and always be interested in learning more about history, so my history knowledge will forever be growing. But as far as just tacking on new things I like to do, probably not.
Well, what can you do with that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, I mean, it's probably not. I mean, because, I mean, to be fair, I came onto the radio and that ended up being a thing. Like, you know, almost
see,
a year ago
at
this point.
That's a good lesson to learn. See? Expand your horizons. You never know what'll happen.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Because it depends on what happens.
All right. Let's do a topic. This has got to be, well, here we go. This is an interesting one here. A recent Japanese study found that writing down things that make you angry, then tearing them up afterwards, brings them back to a state of calm. That sounds like something people in Japan would do. So, I think that's fascinating. What do you think? Because clearly there are a lot of things that are making people angry here today.
You know, I need a pen and paper.
You need a pen and paper. Let's give it a try.
I feel like I've actually heard this before. I feel like this is something they tell, like, people, like when you're in school and you get angry, this is something that, like, a teacher suggests you do to get rid of your anger, and then you look at them and they're like, no, this isn't going to help.
Well, apparently it does. The study found out that it brought them back to a state of calm.
I think that if you think it's going to bring you back to a state of calm when you do it, it's going to do it. But I think if you think that you're not going to go back to a state of calm when you do it, it's not going to help.
Yes, very Buddhist perspective there.
I think it's all about the mindset.
I think that's the whole point. I think that's what you're missing here. I think that's the whole point.
I'm just supposed to believe.
What do you think? It was some kind of voodoo on the paper that was supposed to get rid of the bad feeling? No, that's the whole point.
No, like in terms of like, like, there's psychology behind, like, colors, for instance. People are more likely, like, actually, as a matter of fact, one of my teachers was in the Marine Corps, and he said when he was in the Marine Corps, the walls of the barracks were painted baby blue. And all the Marines were like, why are the walls painted, like, make them, like, red or something. And then they were like, are you kidding me? If we made these walls red, there'd be fights in the barracks every night. Mm-hmm. By making the walls baby blue, it actually is like, it calms, like, it. There's science behind it.
Oh, there is.
There's psychology that, like, colors do certain things. Like, baby
well, there's
blue
science behind this, too. There was a study done.
Next time I get angry, I'll run my own little experiments here.
No. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the Japanese study that was done here. You can do studies on anything and find what you want. But the point is, would this help? Of course it's psychological. All things are psychological.
I think if you think it's going to help, it'll probably help. I think if you're like, this is not going to do anything, it's probably not going to do anything.
I like his answer.
Yeah, but that's not
probably
the point of. I think the question is being missed here. Maybe I should phrase the question again. The phraseology here is maybe wrong. Would it help if you wanted it to do that?
I mean, if you wanted it to do it, then I would, I mean, probably.
Why do you want to stay angry, I guess, is the point. What is the point?
I mean, I think if you could convince yourself that writing these things would make you angry on a piece of paper and then tearing it up is going to make it better, I think you could almost just convince yourself that it's not worth
it. The color red would make you angry. Yeah, same thing. You convince yourself of that, too.
Oh, but, like, I don't know.
Colorblind people have no emotions at all. They are, they're just pale.
They're not, you know.
Well, by writing it down, too, maybe not the act of tearing it up will make everything better, but the act of writing it down might bring some things into perspective. Like, they do have some things, like, you know, you could be angry, but there's other things that contribute to being angry, like being hungry.
I mean,
and you could go to write it down and like, I'm really not angry about anything.
I also know that
nothing's making me angry. Why am I angry?
There have been studies done that writing lists is a good way to organize your thoughts. It's actually like one of the most useful tools you could use. Like if you're having trouble organizing your thoughts, just start writing things down. Mm-hmm. Lists are useful to that extent. But I mean, I don't know what ripping the paper has to do with it.
I think it's the symbolism of I'm done with this.
I think you could write it down and be like, eh. Like, they're on the paper now, not my problem.
I mean, if you go in with that attitude, you're going to be angry all the time, and you're probably going to end up on an 8-hour car trip with somebody and not be friends at the end of it. Maybe you should take some paper and pencils on those car trips.
If I'm being honest, I don't know that we were ever necessarily friends.
Oh, good. Let's start there. Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm not saying that we were, like, enemies or, like, we don't like each other. It's more like we're acquaintances. We talk here. That's about it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Oh, Matt's he's a
hard shell. He's on a tear today.
He's a hard shell to crack.
On a tear today.
You just got to be honest sometimes, you know?
Okay. I guess if that's the route you want to go with that, go right ahead. What do you think, Jess?
Of tearing up the paper?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Neither do I.
I might have to try it.
Yeah.
But I do think the act of writing things down is probably not a bad idea either. Now, I make to-do lists and stuff all the time. I've never really thought about just writing down on a piece of paper, hey, I'm feeling angry or edgy today. What's making me mad?
Well, I think the idea here is if it's really bothering you that much, look at it. Say, okay, this is my problem. This is silly.
I'm going to try this with my cup lid.
Please do. And report back and let us know how that goes. But see, I'm worried, though, because it seems to be a continual problem with your cup.
No, just the lid problem is only at the past 3 weeks.
Well, you know, I always heard that, you know, whatever is bothering you that day, write it down and then wait a week and look back on it and say, this means nothing now. Well, I've got a whole new set of problems.
Facts.
But then you're still angry for that. You're still angry until you get new things to be angry. You're still angry for that week until you look back at the piece of paper and you're like, oh, yeah, that was the thing.
But that just shows you that why be angry? Why waste that energy? New things are going to come along anyway and bounce that out of there. The act of getting angry is not the problem. It's staying angry. That does you no good. It's not going to fix it. It's not going to take it away. It's not going to do anything.
No, it's a waste of energy.
Waste of energy and time.
No, it took me a long time to figure that out, though.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I think you learn with age and experience.
Mm-hmm. You can also have extra built-up energy, too, that just needs released. Like, you know, and anger is, I guess, maybe like a path of least resistance for it. You know, like when you're just, you know, I don't know, maybe you just need to go for a run or something like that instead of getting angry. But somehow, you know, 'cause there's so many sit down jobs and desk jobs and stuff like that, you know, car rides, that, you know, maybe if you had a punching bag to punch on when you got out of there,
I mean,
to release a little bit of your meridian buildup.
But how many times have we seen transference? Something bad is going on at home, and you're really annoyed with it, and then you go into a different environment, a work environment, and you are more short-tempered that day. You are less talkative that day, and if somebody hits you with something that day that normally would be a nothing, you get angry about it.
So, usually when I get angry, I just, because, like, the more you think about it, the worse it's going to get. So, like, I've always just, I always just, like, put in my earbuds and start listening to music, because, I mean, I don't know. It's like the, you know, the Johnny Cash song, like, you know, get a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't get angry about things in that way. So, I don't even know that I would have anything to write down and tear up. You know, I question a lot of things that people do, but I don't get angry. I don't sit there and stew over it or scream at people or do that thing. I think that is a complete waste of time.
Can be. It is.
I mean, what does it do? If I yell right now at anybody in this room, what is that going to do? How is that going to help me in any way?
Yeah, for some people, though, being angry is healthy. And they're...
I don't know, stress kills.
Realm of...
I think the number one killer is stress.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. I've never seen it do any good to yell at anybody. Most people who yell at people either have to go back and apologize for yelling at them because they feel that they shouldn't have done it, or it makes that person angrier at them, Or they yell back and it just turns into a whole thing that doesn't solve the problem.
I was listening to the Bobby Bones show one morning because my phone was dead, so I had to listen to something on the actual radio. So I was listening to the Bobby Bones show, and they were actually having this exact conversation, but it was more so about whether or not it's useful to yell at kids. And the people on the show who did not have kids said that the thing was because there was a study done and yelling at kids isn't helpful, but then the two parents were like, I would completely disagree with that one, because they were like, look, so for instance, they brought up the story of getting ready to leave the house. They were like, look, so say I tell my kids we're getting ready to leave in 2 minutes, go get your stuff and let's get ready. Hey, we got a minute, get your stuff, let's get ready. All right, we gotta go. Like, we gotta leave now. Let's get ready. And then still nothing. And then they're like, let's go. We gotta go now. And then all of a sudden, you hear all the footsteps running down the stairs.
Yeah, but I think that just sets a precedent, doesn't it? Because now every time you leave the house and you want them to run, you gotta yell.
Well, I mean, but what else? Like, it works the first time.
Well, maybe that is your parenting skills, that you can't get them ready without yelling.
What do you want?
Maybe you should look at your parenting skills.
I'm confused on what you want me to do here. Hit him over the head and say, do it.
You know what? I'm around 25 kids 5 days a week, and we go in and out of the room a lot, and I don't think I've ever had to yell at them to do it.
Yeah, but you're not a parent.
Oh, excuse me. I'll go out and get somebody pregnant, and then I'll see if they have to yell at that person.
Oh, you're going to have to yell at that person.
I don't see it.
Look, I had parents growing up, obviously, right? And I feel like the yelling did more than it hurt me, okay?
I don't know. You seem to have an interesting perspective on things here, Matt.
I think it turned out
I think the residual is kind of interesting at this point. What do you think, Jess? Don't you think once you yell, then you always have to yell? That yelling now means business. You can't unding the bell.
Oh, yeah, I agree with your perspective, but, you know, I try not to yell as a parent. Like, just yell when necessary. So,
right.
I mean, it's serious.
I think it should be more of a rarity, because then it is seen as a serious endeavor. When you do it all the time because of little things like getting ready, then you have to do it all the time.
Yeah, then it's just a normal.
But like, it's just one of those things where, like, so let's go back before the whole yelling at the kids to come down the stairs. What do you want me to do? Walk upstairs? I'm like, all right, let's go. Because then I'll walk upstairs every time to go get all three of them?
Are you got no legs or something? I mean, what's the problem with walking up the stairs?
It's just so much easier to say, let's go.
Well, that's different. Because they're away and can't hear you, that's different than angrily yelling at them.
Well, I think the thing is they heard you the first three times you said it.
Well, that's
so
not different.
Go upstairs and pull them all downstairs? Like, I'm confused on how I'm supposed to set a precedence that just come when I say.
Well, I know.
I can teach cats that, because cats are, you know, animals are a lot easier than people. People have
How do you feel about interrupting? Yelling when people are interrupting. How do you feel about that?
I was never done with my thoughts, so you interrupted me.
See, there there you go. So, but yelling worked in your life. It straightened you right out.
I guess.
Okay, I there you go.
He probably just had his headboat, his earbuds in.
He must have,
I didn't have Bluetooth earbuds didn't exist back in the day, and if they did, I certainly didn't have them.
I don't have Bluetooth earbuds now.
I have Bluetooth earbuds now.
Let me know when your thought's done, and I'll come on in here.
Go for it.
All right. Jess, did your parents yell at you a lot?
No, not much.
Me either. I can hardly ever remember it happening.
Well, it's not like they were consistently yelling at me, but if I did something bad...
Okay.
You gotta yell.
But are those isolated incidents, or are they constant?
I'm confused what you mean. They yelled at me when I did something bad.
What I'm saying is, you ran out in front of traffic. Now, that seems like a reason to yell at a kid, so you don't do it again. Leaving the house, I can't get you ready to leave the house. That's going to happen many times in a week. That's what I'm saying. It's the frequency of it. It just demeans the whole thing.
I guess it depends on how what I was doing to be yelled at. I don't know. I'm sure there were a lot of things. The thing is, like, usually if I got yelled at for something, I just wouldn't, like, it didn't prevent me from doing it. I just didn't do it when they were around. The authority wasn't there. I could do what I wanted now.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I don't understand yelling because I don't know that it does change the trajectory of anything.
I don't know that. What's the better way then?
dealing with people like they're people. You wouldn't yell at an adult like that to get ready. If you did, they're not going to be there very long.
I can't make a business deal with a kid. Kids don't have the ability to make a deal.
No, I'm saying, listen, I'm out with somebody. We went to a party. We went out to dinner, and they're not moving fast enough. I'm not going to scream at them and say, get ready. It's time to go.
Matt needs to paint his house baby blue.
Yeah, yeah. They can do a little baby blue. Cover those red walls up. I mean, I have always believed firmly that if a child is over the age of 6 and they can think and they can form thoughts, that I am not going to treat them in an emotional way any different than I would treat an adult. Because if I believe that yelling is how we teach people things, I'd be yelling at adults all day long. Because this would be cause-effect. But that's not how we do it. We yell at kids because we can. We don't yell at adults because they might knock you out or not come back and see you again.
I mean, I would disagree with that.
Well, I can't imagine that you would disagree with something like that. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't go along. I mean, I'm not yelling at kids on a regular. I mean, you could yell at anybody. I'm confused by your thing here.
You can yell at everybody, but they're not going to want to be around somebody yelling at them all the time. The kid has nowhere to go.
What do you mean?
Where's the kid going to go? If it's your kid and you're yelling at them, where are they going to go? They can't walk out of the house on you.
They could stop listening. They could...
Right.
And also, yeah, they could walk out of the house on you. Mm. If you're tall enough to reach a door handle, you can open a door.
Oh, so we'll live on the street at 7?
You know how many times I threatened to just leave and go to my grandma's house?
Okay.
My kid tried running away a couple months ago.
Well, there you go.
He gets down the driveway. He gets about 10 feet and then looks back. And then gets about another 10 feet and looks back, if I'm watching.
Exactly. And that's what a kid will do. But you have a 20-year-old adult, they're going to walk out to their car and bye-bye.
I would be like, see you later. Get the house to myself.
Well, see, but not if you want them to stay.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Yelling, I assume you want your kids around, or why'd you have them?
Most kids born are not planned kids. I don't think that's right at all. Look, if you ask the majority of people, I'll pull up. My phone is dead. I can't look up statistics right now, and I guarantee you, most kids are not planned.
I mean, I guess I could agree with you halfway there, because I do believe you can plan to have a kid, but once you have it, that's a completely unplanned life.
Right, I think most people do not have the unexpected pregnancies anymore. I don't think that's as common as the other way.
Well, what is it they saw on the shelf?
There's a lot of things that can be done, I guess, nowadays if you don't want to have the baby, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But I'm just saying, most people, I think, want to have the kid.
I think statistics are showing more... I could be wrong, but I think the statistics are showing that people are waiting longer and having less children now.
I think that's right.
So they're having kids, you know, at an older age, and therefore maybe planning them a little bit more.
So there you go. So the point is, to get rid of anger, just write it down on a piece of paper and tear it up and see if it works for you good.
I like it.
Yeah. I think what else you got to do?
Very zen.
It's very zen.
I think
it's
I'll light a candle, too, while I do it.
I think that's right.
You know.
Well, here's another interesting topic. The Washington Post was looking at people and websites and trends and found out that there is a new trend called a trad wife. Now, that is women...
I've already heard the term. We're pros at this.
I don't know what it is. What are...
Trad wife is like it's literally just short for traditional wife.
Traditional wife. We haven't done this
stuff. Stay at home mom, basically.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily.
Traditional woman.
Trad wife.
Not necessarily. Trad wife.
It
is. Trad wife. But here's the problem. The thing is, the idea is that they will forego their career, is really what the whole point of it is. They'll forego having a career to be a stay-at-home wife or a girlfriend and live a life of leisure, like the good old days, is how they say it. Is this really a good idea, that this is a trend?
No, I think not.
I mean, a long time ago, I wouldn't call it a trend. I would call it I don't know. I think all that's getting turned around, but I really do think, like, mean, there's a lot of different ways to have a family and raise a family in different ways as there are. But, you know, if in fact, I mean, are there kids involved with the trad wife?
Could
I mean,
be.
Do like
could
a stay-at-home be. Mom type thing.
Yep, there could be.
But, I do think it takes a lot to, I think it takes a lot to run a home.
Yeah. Oh, it's not an easy job at all.
It's hard to run a home. I mean, to have everything kind of cleaned and the grocery shopping done, all the doctor's appointments scheduled, you know, all the family trips, you know, packed and ready to go, and all the, you know, the vehicles are tagged. I mean, just somebody just to make sure you have a tag on your license plate, you know, even if they don't cook or whatever, but at least, like, you know, an idea of dinner, you know, a social schedule's planned and stuff. It takes a lot to run a home. It is a job.
Of course it is. But the idea is here that these women, before they slip into this traditional role, that they, in their own mind, say, I'm going to forgo the career. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go for that.
Well,
I'm
to just, them, that is a career.
Well, but I think they're saying clearly a workout of the home career.
And especially, like, if, you know, like, I mean, especially if you have, like, a certain image you're trying to maintain, too. Like, if it's a super social situation, like, somebody to kind of plan the events and stuff like that for, let's say, like, a business executive or whatever who is always having to, you know, entertain or host gatherings with maybe people that come in from out of the country or whatever, like, you know. It's a career. It could be a career.
Well, right, but I think what the theory is here is that they're purposely saying, I am going to forego my career, because that's how it's written. That maybe I wanted to be a nurse, maybe I wanted to be a doctor, maybe I wanted to be a lawyer, maybe I wanted to be a teacher, but I'm going to forego that and just stay home and be the girlfriend, and they say, live the life of leisure is what they, just like the good old days. Is that a good idea? I don't know that that was a life of leisure even in the good old days for all the reasons you just said.
Oh, it just depending on how it is. Now, I guess you could have where you're just kind of hanging out at the poolside, waiting, you know, and going to work out. That's, you know, an hour of my day. Then I'm going to go to the pool. And then I'm going to go to the country club and have... Yeah.
But the problem is the power dynamic in that relationship is going to be all screwed up. And that's normally what happens. And that normally was what happened. Not ever, all the time. Sometimes it worked, but it was always there was a power dynamic there that got out of hand. And a lot of people, you always hear, you know, I know somebody very well who worked at Turning Point here in Marion. And the rate that people went back after being abused, women, and most people who were in there were women that went back to their spouse was like 90%. And the reason was, I can't afford to live alone. Car's in his name. I don't have a job. Where am I going to go? I don't have family around here. If that's your dynamic, what are you going to do?
Well, then I guess in that scenario, it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea, but you don't know till that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have seen a lot of marriages and relationships like that, where, you know, you're not just sitting around doing nothing. You do get involved.
Oh, absolutely.
Charities, you know, even yoga, like, whatever. Just get
right. Well, and I think a lot of people do like it. I just think this idea that it's a life of leisure, I don't know if it is a life of leisure. I don't think that that's exactly right. I think at some point...
Oh, I don't think so either.
I think people who are believing that are probably going to get let down at some point.
Possibly.
And herein lies the problem with the trad wife. Because if that's what you think you're getting into, that's not necessarily what you think. It always sounds good at the time. Let's put it that way. It sounds like, I can just go to yoga, I can go to the gym when I want to, I don't have to do the 8-hour day.
Yeah.
But then there are the things that come with it that aren't so pleasant.
Well, I'm not sure that's a place for me in particular, like something that I would do, but I guess if I chose that path, I would understand that opportunities and room for expansion if that did happen. Like, you know, if that whole situation was going to end, but I would probably be making connections, and you know, establishing a life like that would carry me if something like that happened.
I'll tell you what I find interesting. If you do go back to those old days, the good old days, like they say here, a lot of those women who stayed home and raised the children, as soon as the children were gone, went in the workforce. Wanted to get out of the house.
They'd probably be bored.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting that, but at that point, a lot of them are late 40s, early 50s, some maybe in their 60s. So they're not really going to get a career in. And a lot of those women did end up getting divorces for whatever reason and ended up with very little Social Security because they never paid into it all those years. And the husband's still alive, so they don't get that Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
You have to if you want it, that's okay. But understand there are things that go along with it. Forever is a long time. Just remember that. Forever's a long time. Till death do you part isn't always till death do you part.
I mean, I think it's bad. I think in order to be a so-called trad wife, you have to it's just impossible to be self-reliant almost. You have to rely on the person who has the job and has the income and whose house it in theory is because, I mean, they have to pay for it.
Do you remember, this doesn't happen so much anymore. Yeah. Do you remember when people used to call their spouses like mother and father? Do you remember that?
No.
The older generation, Pastor Craig remembers this. They call their spouse like dad. Or father, or something like that. I think that subconsciously came out of a lot of this. Because they felt like, you know, what does your father do? A lot of times he gives you money, he helps you live, he puts a roof over your head, make sure you have a car, that sort of thing. You don't see that phraseology a whole lot anymore.
Because that's not the way it is anymore.
Right, but people apparently want to go back to that, the good old days. I don't know. I think people are silly in general. Anytime, if your reason for being in a relationship, traditional or not, is because that person's paying your way or making your finances easier, red flag, don't do that.
Well, maybe a way around it is to collect a paycheck off your husband.
Explain
that. Does
that
sound weird?
How do you do that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Are you a Mormon?
Well, I'm not sure, but I mean, maybe... Maybe that's a way of getting around that, you know, of as far as future goes.
I'm confused.
How so?
How are you collecting?
I'm confused.
You're saying, like, no Social Security, you're not paying into, you know, all of
killing?
That.
Killing? Are you talking about, like,
but,
killing,
I mean,
him?
You could still get a paycheck, but, like, not. I mean, you still, like, share the money that he gives you, but, like, I mean, it's still, like,
you want him to pay
an
you.
Understanding. Yeah, well, I know it sounds weird.
You see,
I know it sounds weird, but
that ain't good. That ship ain't gonna.
Well, like, if he's
I'm
so,
sorry,
so if he's
that's like the Titanic.
Unquote, yeah, if he's like paying,
you gotta pay me because we're married.
Yeah, if he's like,
at the end of the week, I gotta write you a check.
Well, I'm just trying to legally figure out how you.
No,
get it,
no.
Why not
paying you to be his wife?
That would be a good relationship to you.
I don't know. It just, well,
this could explain, like, some things.
This and that adds a
well,
whole.
Well, technically, I mean, you're his assistant.
That adds a whole new
really?
Level of, like.
This is my assistant, Jessica, otherwise known as my wife.
That
yes.
adds a whole new
no.
level of, like, dependence, though, because now your income, your check, as you put it, your income. Is his, like, he has to pay, he's paying you, so therefore there's a whole new layer of
oh, you had the flu
your
this week. No check for you this week. I'm sorry, you had the flu.
Well, it's not like you get the money, because, I mean, you probably just go into his account or credit card or whatever and just use all of those things, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, it could just be money that goes into a separate account that you just, you know, or that you just turn around and blow that away.
Do you think
I
that,
don't know.
That conversation, do you think would be a good one?
Yeah,
really?
I think it could be a pretty practical conversation.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Anybody is ever going to think that that's a good or practical conversation.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
about
I guess
that.
If you're going to be a trad wife, you need to get married for sure, because there's a lot of
things. Wife. I think trad wife. Yeah, wife.
Yeah. As long as you're married, then your name's on things and stuff like that. So, you know, if you get a divorce or whatever, then.
You get to steal half
the
stuff.
Problem is,
well, you get a little bit.
Well,
I guess.
But the problem is, again, if you don't have a job or a career build up, it's hard to go out and get a house or an apartment or something if you don't have family in the area who can help support you. That's a daunting thing if you have zero income. Even if you do get something out of the husband because of that, that ain't gonna last forever.
No.
I don't know. I think these are bad things. I just think money should not be your guiding force. You know, this person makes an easier life. They're a good provider. Okay, that's nice, but if that's one of the reasons that you really like that person, that says nothing about their temperament. That says nothing about their lifestyle. That says nothing about the things you have in common. That does not really mean a whole lot. True? No. You look for the money. I don't know.
Are you asking me this?
Yes, I'm asking you this. Is it,
have the husband give me a paycheck?
No. I'm just saying.
Did you just ask me?
Is that practical? Well, you brought it up as a practical idea.
I thought it was.
You thought it was. No, but I mean, is this a good reason to marry somebody because of their financial status?
I'm not sure it's a bad thing.
Really?
No.
You would marry somebody because they're rich?
I'm not saying I would. I can understand why.
But you're not saying
would.
You wouldn't. You're not saying you wouldn't.
I'm not saying that I will ever get married
again. Well, that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other thing. But does money play a part?
It can.
Really? Well, that's honest.
I can.
I don't know, though. I think that's bad. I just think when you base things in money, you're never really liking the real person. Because that is one of the factors of why you like them. And that's a trivial, superficial thing. What if they lose it all? Do you like them less?
Right.
I mean, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's bad. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think so. I think that money should not be the driving force behind relationships. I think that, like, you could, if you married a millionaire, right? Okay, but, like, turns out, you know, after a year of marrying this man who's super rich, gives you anything you want, you're like, man, he's boring. I cannot stand to be around this guy.
Or you have nothing to talk about.
And all of a sudden, here I am.
Here I am now. He's got money.
Till death do us part.
He's got money, but we got nothing to do. He's yelling every day, and
I hate him.
We hate each other, but we have nice dinners.
Well, I was kind of thinking about it on the reverse side. Like, I guess your question is marry somebody because they have more money or be a provider, but I'm thinking of the other way around, bringing somebody in who doesn't have any. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, though.
It
so
is.
So could you, yeah, because do you dislike...
But is it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. Do you dislike who you really like? I get along with this person. They are super fun. We have great conversations.
But they want to be a trad wife. Do I want to sign up
for
that?
But that's the deal breaker for you. That's for you to accept.
Well, I'm not saying. I'm thinking of it reverse.
Right, but I don't.
Love them.
Is poverty a reason not to love somebody, I guess? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think that would be a turnoff, poverty.
No.
No, so no, I think no. My answer to that would be no. No, I think if they're fine, as long as you like them, I don't care what money they make. I mean, whatever. So poverty would be a deal breaker.
I'm not saying that either. I just thought, I'm just looking at that to just tell you that's how I was.
Matt, poverty a deal breaker?
I mean, I don't think so, no. I think...
It could just be on hard times. How do I know what's going on with them?
Well, if you loved them.
Well, then you loved the poverty. Yeah. You knew what you were getting into.
You know...
Well, it's absolutely reverse.
But well, see, but you see, that's the difference, though. See, I think when money's involved, you don't know if you love the person for them or their money.
I think
you know you don't love poverty because you don't want to be in poverty. So if you love the person who's in poverty, you know you love them. That's the difference.
True.
There you go.
I don't know if the question has been asked yet, but what is love? See, because this was a question that Scott had asked loads of times to me and Carrington when we were talking about...
I don't think
about,
I've asked it loads, but I don't ever get a good answer.
Because I don't think there's a good definition, but like I feel like every time we talk about relationships, you're like, well, what is love?
Well, that's because everybody always goes back to, well, if you love them...
Yeah, you see, and you're like, yeah, well,
what
is love?
What is that?
Yeah, see, so what is love? I've struggled to answer this question.
He's got no answer.
So, yeah, I have no answer, so...
Oh boy.
What is love?
What is love?
Yes. What's your definition?
Why are you guys looking at me? I've
because you were the one who was just like, well, you love me.
We do not have enough time for me to explain.
We've got 8 minutes.
Both you single guys. What love is?
We've got 8 minutes.
Clearly, you don't know.
No, that's not true. Love could have came and went. How do you know love didn't come and go at some point? Like with so many other human beings, love came and love went.
Right. Next topic.
You don't have like a miniature definition.
Trad wife, though. I did learn something new today with that.
Wow. My head snapped on that transition. No, now what? There is no definition is what you're saying.
Of love?
Yes.
I'm sure that there's many definitions of
right.
love.
Exactly.
Like, the 9-hour car ride to Philadelphia wouldn't even have been long enough. You guys should have just talked about love.
There you go.
Maybe we would have been nicer to each other.
No. You know, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love.
See?
Wasn't a whole lot of love in Philadelphia when I was there this past weekend.
So, the Philly cheesesteak and brotherly love.
And brotherly love. That's what it's and the start of our country, Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell.
Good Philly cheesesteak.
So, love. You were almost into it there. People have different definitions.
People have different definitions of love.
Okay. But should they involve money?
I do think it's very different between love and being in love. Those are two very different.
How
very
so?
Very different things, I think.
How so?
Well, love, I mean, love really encompasses, like, so many different things. You can love your pets. You can
your
love
parents.
Yeah. Your siblings.
Mm-hmm. You can. So.
I'm actually saying, like you love those people, but you're not in love with those people.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I followed that part of it.
Yeah, so.
But so what's in love?
I think there's a lot of definitions there.
For that one, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should they involve money, though, is the question. That's where we are here.
No.
With the trad wife.
No.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Is that money should not be one of these things that make this doable or not.
But I'm saying that the trad wife is a career, it sounds like. In this context.
But I don't think you're getting paid for it, is the point.
Well, you do.
Do you?
Well, if you have a place to stay and you have a car and you have all
of this.
Sounds
more like indentured servitude.
You know what? If you want to do it, it's okay. But all I'm saying is I don't think you should say that this is going to be the life of leisure like the good old days. I don't think that's what you're signing up for.
I don't think the good old days was a life of leisure. I mean,
they're cutting heads off of
chickens and boiling the feathers off.
I don't know how we're going back that far.
I mean,
well, what, are we going back to like the pilgrims and the Indians here?
No, but I mean, that happened.
I'm talking about like the 50s. I mean, I think we even had microwaves.
That does happen in the 50s.
I mean, that happens now.
We're in Kentucky? I don't think in this area we're chopping the heads off and beating our clothes on a washing board or something.
I truly believe there's more
responsibilities. My grandma hangs, like will hang dry her clothes in the summertime.
Yeah.
And there's more responsibilities and things and stuff like that has to happen now than what there was back then, too. Like, you know, back then a lot of people just had one car, even if they even had one. So, you know, you would probably have to take husband to work, or the wife would be home all day. Like, my grandma never drove. Not well, my dad's mom never drove.
Yes.
And they
yes.
were city people. They weren't farms, so she wasn't cutting heads off of chickens. However, you know, she still, she didn't drive.
Would that be a deal breaker if you had to cut the heads off chickens?
Just the school system, like, they have this, like, class dojo thing or whatever. And, you know, just having a 7-year-old. But, you know, just the school system, at least, very minimum, 5 communications a day, one child. 5 communications a day. My phone's already been gone off twice as far as communications go about my child. So if there's children, 100%. He's not even in school for 6 hours.
What are those communications?
Huh?
So what are those communications?
Well, like, I would say today...
I guess I don't need the exact ones, just, I guess, examples. I just didn't understand why you're getting all these.
Here's the spelling words for the week. Make sure your child wears orange tomorrow. We're having,
reminders.
You know,
they're reminders.
They're not just reminders. I mean, there's also, like, we need a box of Kleenex. You know, we're running out of hand sanitizer.
But aren't we all expedient?
They are distractions... even though I'm talking on the radio right now,
yeah.
But they are distractions through work. You know, now imagine having 3 kids. So now, and some of them are common communications. You know, some of them are common. Now you have the kids' athletic events. So there's been 3 communications today about baseball. The baseball bat's in. We need cleats. Your money's due for travel ball by Friday. Okay, so now we're up to, you know, 8 kid-involved conversations for the day.
Being a parent's work.
Now, I also run my own business, so if you can imagine all of the employees and all of their needs and wants and everything like that, like, it is hard to juggle. I really do wish I had a trad wife at home.
But do you really want somebody dependent on you?
I wish somebody would make all my doctor's appointments, make sure I make it to them, make sure my cable TV's working, that I don't have to sit at home all day to
there
watch away for
well,
the
Well, I
back.
Guess, we'll talk, here you go, sign up.
You know, but someone to, you know, go, you know, to make sure the house is clean, at least schedule the cleaning lady, you know, and like, I mean, I wish I had a counterpart.
But do you want to be that person? Somebody steps in and says, you know what? I make more money than you. Stay home.
If I had no other options and I limited myself like that throughout my younger adult life, then, I would give it my all.
Now, see, you use limit yourself. And I think this is where this is all starting, because they're saying, I'm foregoing that life of a career.
But
I'm giving that up to do this.
But I do think it's very similar to being like a secretary. Like,
I think
it would be like being a secretary.
Yeah, but that's not a wife or a husband. Get yourself a secretary.
Okay, then I'll get a secretary.
If you want to, you can get a secretary.
But why not have both in one person, all wrapped up in one person?
Because
because
that's your employee then. You didn't make that call today. You didn't do that thing. But you're also the husband or the wife.
And there's something to be said, too, about, like, in a relationship that... you know, like there are private things about my life that I would prefer, like, you know, my husband or spouse handle, as opposed to a secretary, like, you know, or a secretary that might be gone in, you know, like a couple years. Well, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I usually don't like people coming in dealing with my personal finances.
What work does finances. I got you.
You know, knowing what I, like, spend my money on.
I understand that.
What work does the trad wife do that a secretary would do?
What?
So what wife would a trad wife do that a secretary would do? I don't think I'm asking my secretary to make me doctor's appointments or change the oil in my car or clean my house or do my laundry or...
No, but they could schedule the oil change. They can, you know, like...
I mean, I feel like if you're a secretary relying more on a bit, I don't think your secretary is doing things personally.
Listen, if you're allowing that person to do everything else and that's one of the reasons you like them, I'm telling you there's going to be a problem down the road. It might sound good for a year or two, but you just walk on down the road a while with that, because then you're right. They do know your finances. They know what they make. They know what their position is. They know what your triggers are. They know it becomes a whole other thing 2 years down the road when you've been doing that every day. Helps. This is why people in the beginning, I'll send you flowers. Are you sending flowers 2 years in? Probably not. I'll bring you candy to work. I'll get your car washed. I'll pick you up at the mechanic. Well, after about seven or eight times of picking somebody up at the mechanic, you're done with that. You've had enough. Get a car that's reliable. I've changed enough tires. I'm done with that. Once was enough.
I can change tires.
And oil. But you don't want to.
I would
to
be a great trap
But
wife.
You don't want to is the point.
I'm not saying that either.
See, this was a deep topic. But you don't want to give up your career at this point.
I would give it my all. If I was a trad wife, I'd give it my all.
You give it your all, but I think it just is not the life of leisure, which is the whole point that people think it will be.
I don't think it would be.
There we are. That's all we're saying. Don't think that if somebody's going to be wanting you to do the schedule the appointments and get the text messages and do this and do that, and that's a lot of work. We made it through.
Is it that time already?
Didn't it blow right by? It's always good to be here with Jessica and Matt, and we will do it again next Friday. Pastor Craig coming up next. Don't you dare flip that dial.
It's The Talking Place, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook and clicking like for exclusive content.
CRT Mechanicals, address 2842 Marion Waldo.